So we see that in this instance, you might have in a church situation along the way in our day and time, where you'd have some that would be in leadership capacity perhaps, that would not want to follow the Lord's way. They would want to teach the teachings of man. They'd want to practice the wickedness of man. And they'd want to defend that as their way of life. Sad to say that that situation can occur. Faithful people, what will they do? Faithful people will follow the Lord's admonition. In Matthew 18, beginning of verse 15, he tells them that when offenses happen among brethren, go to see them alone and gain your brother. Sometimes an individual going to see that person alone and talk about the division that's been created, the trouble that can come, will cause that person to turn around and do the right things. But he says in that passage, if he does not hear thee, take with thee two or three witnesses, that by those witnesses every word may be established. In other words, they're there to be witness to the fact that you didn't go there out of personal vendetta. You did not talk to them out of personal gripes. You did not go there complaining and fussing at them. You went there to solve a spiritual question. And these two or three to bear witness of the fact that you did that in the right way. And if you will not hear all of them, he says, tell it to the church. Now keep in mind, when Jesus made this statement in Matthew 18, the church had not yet come about. In chapter 16, at the coast of Caesarea Philippi, Jesus had promised to build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. But in that chapter 18, when he says, listen, this is a matter when you have conflict, go individually, gain your brother. Take two or three with you, and those people ought to realize the seriousness of this matter now, and listen to what's said, and go away from the error. But they won't do it. Tell it to the whole church. What should the church do in that instance? Jesus said the church that was coming to be built, the church was going to be the household, the assembly of the Lord, the called out people of God, they were going to not continue the same fellowship with those false teachers. They were going to separate from them. The very division that Jesus is talking about there in Luke chapter 12 at 51. Think that I'm come to send peace on earth? I didn't come to give just peace only. I came to send a sword. And those who are enemies and those who are divided will be in the household of five. There'll be three against two. Somebody says, well, if three against two, that's the majority. Jesus didn't think he was saying that. Jesus was saying, those two that are following me, they have been divided by the other three, but they're doing the right thing. Or those two will be against three. Those two will be doing the right thing. In the instance of serving the Lord faithfully, we have that sometimes to happen. Most of the difficulties that I've observed in the church in my 55 years now of trying to preach the gospel has been personality conflicts. Instead of those personality conflicts being accepted and say, well, we talked about that, we prayed about that, and we're just going our way and live at peace one with another. There comes a time where people are decidedly opposed to a personality. And as a result, they fight against that personality by words and by mannerisms, and division soon begins to pick up its head. And as a result, division in a congregation by those personalities takes place. Not on the basis of truth, not on the basis of error being pointed out, but on the basis of I'd just rather not be around that individual. You know, when Paul had that kind of thing to happen, he was in prison in Rome. And in Philippians chapter 1, it had been a perfect time for Paul to have said, when I get out of prison, I'm going to get over there and I'm going to wear you folks out as causing this problem and everything. Paul said, to the contrary, I see that my being here in jail has caused some to become very bold in their mannerisms. And in their mannerisms, they are so bold that they're practicing a way of life that is not good. He said, I rejoice that Christ is preached in this matter. He will be the final judge for them. He did not find himself warring against the personalities and the purposes of these individuals that since he was in jail, they came to the front right now. In the way of religious division, we find that religious division on the basis of man's doctrines and errors is wrong. And we find the division on the basis of the Lord's truth not being followed and served by the one, by the twos and threes, by the whole church is to be done. And as a result, peace and joy can be had. You know, Jesus himself loved people, and he tells people to love him. And in John chapter 14, verse 15, when he said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." That's the way we ought to live. He reversed the idea in another context in John 15 and verse 14 and said, "Ye are truly my friends if you do those things I command you." You are really my friends only then when you do the things I command you. You'll notice that our Lord Jesus spoke in regard to unity with him, having a love for him that we do what he says, and a friendship with him that we want to do and be what he wants us to be. Think about it next time that you think about these things. I hope that you might write down a note and remind yourself as you drive down the road and you're tempted with road rage. Think about what Jesus would do. When you've got a Bible class to go to and you can study God's Word and discuss it or hear it discussed, not say a word, and listen and grow and benefit from it, when you see a Bible class that's there and available, that's a good thing being done. James says, whatsoever good, you know, we're to involve ourselves with things that are good. Well, that's the way we're to do. Well, think about what the Lord would do on that occasion. When you have an opportunity to work and make a living, and you do, and you have a windfall of money that comes your way, think about what the Lord would do with that money. Think about what the Lord would do with that prosperity. Think about what the Lord would do. Would he be miserly about it? Would he be giving and helpful? Would he put back some for a rainy day? And learn the habit of saving. That fellow who was building the tower in Luke chapter 14, he wished he had had enough money to finish that tower, but he couldn't. He wished he had enough soldiers to finish that war, but he couldn't. Because he didn't look ahead and see what he really needed and prepare for that venture, prepare for that day. He found out that he was in need, so much need that he became mocked by those who walked by. They mocked him and said he began to build, but he couldn't finish. Sad it is that that's the case with his life. Jesus gave that as an example to us in the midst of describing to his disciples how they needed to follow him. Consider the cost of it, he says. And the cost of it is a way that you and I have decided that that's what we'll do. And so it is this morning, all things are ready for any who choose to be immersed into Christ. Put your faith into practice and be baptized into